like to introduce to you a longtime friend, John Townsend. Several months ago, we met together, several of us, and just, again, one of the things that I'm doing in trying to make transitions is as Jared's coming in May, that he'd just kind of have some group of guys that he would just know, these guys are there beside me, whether they're an advisory council, whether they're just prayer warriors, whatever they are, deacons, future elders, all that kind of stuff, whatever they might be. And at that time, I was like, look, guys, some of you need to step up to the plate and start swinging for the fence. And so this is part of what we're doing in terms of just like why Ben Browning shared a couple weeks ago and why Joe McBride shared a couple weeks ago, months ago, whatever it was now. Now we have John sharing. And he shared before, but this is like some really big stuff today, I hear. Walk it out, bro.
Yeah, all right. I just need to pray for a minute. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to stand here and preach your goodness and your word. Lord, I don't have anything to offer, but I want people here just to be prepared to hear you and not me, and that they would open their hearts and minds to whatever you would have to say and not what I would have to say. Keep me quiet through this, and you speak loudly. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go. Hi, guys. It's been kind of crazy. So this is anyway. Here we go. So interestingly enough, when you were speaking about be still, that was kind of the thing that was my theme for today about following directions. Isn't that great? Yeah, and I'm not good at following directions, so this is really about me. So, following directions. So, when we think about an owner's manual, what comes to mind? That's rhetorical. We probably think of the owner's manual in the car. We think about when we get a new appliance or something, we guys throw away the manual. Sometimes the ladies will read it. But who's ever heard that the Bible is kind of like the human manual for our lives? You know, that's kind of cliche and silly in a sense, but that's kind of what it is. It's God's word to us to give us direction and guidance and structure to be able to carry out our lives. That's my theme today, is kind of like the idea of instructions and what the Bible teaches us and tells us. How many of us have ever bought a heavy box home from the store that had a million pieces in it for like an entertainment center? You remember those? Like, I mean, back in the 90s, those things weighed like 8,000 pounds, and it took a delivery team to get it to your house, and then you had the joy of unpackaging it and trying to put it together. That whole thing, even the instructions, are the worst. Like, they're very vague pictures. They're, you know, like, they say, put this screw into side A, and you're like, well, what's that screw, and what's side A? And it's like, a melee of trying to figure out how this entertainment center is going to beautify your house. And don't hit it too hard, because it just made a particle board, and it'll fall apart. And don't get it wet, but it's gorgeous. And it costs a lot. So the difficulty there is trying to understand that delivery. I always like those big packages that come with one sheet, and they're just pictures, and you're like, what? Like, can I call the manufacturer? No, you cannot. I remember a few years ago, Karen and I, we had to buy a very tall and narrow cabinet in our bathroom for our linen, because we didn't have a linen closet in this little bathroom. The good news is the cabinet, although tall, fit nicely in the back seat of our car, as it was small and put in a heavy box. With excitement, I brought the box inside, opened it up, began to look for the first sheet of instructions. There are hardly any steps written down, of course, as I mentioned, but everything has a picture. I began to do what I have always done, analyzing the first step and finding the correct pieces to begin my building journey. I have a self-assessed affirmation in my brain that says, you've done tons of these, you have lots of experience, this should be quick and painless. I bet this won't take long at all. Of course, I was right. It didn't take long at all. I got that thing built, got it standing up. It was looking pretty nice. That was very, very easy. I mean, I just have the experience. I know how to do these things. I looked at my creation, and I realized something was off about it. It didn't look like the picture on the front of the box at all. It was then that I noticed that as I was following the steps to build it, I added my own seasoning of genius to the instructions and ended up building the bottom portion opposite of the top portion. Yeah, it's still like that. when I put the top and bottom together, I realized that some of the holes didn't match up. And, you know, my immediate thought was the manufacturer got it wrong. Right? So I made the holes and put it together like it should have been. We always have to adapt to the inconsistencies of the manufacturer. With that, the holes were made. They were joined forever. And so our bathroom has a one-of-a-kind piece. You know, it's very, very nice. Now you can see everything like it's supposed to. And if you walked in, you probably wouldn't even notice that it was messed up. But if you look really closely, you'll see a bunch of white stickers over the holes that are on the fascia of the cabinet that should have been on the other side. It's all right. We'll probably leave it with the house for the new homeowner when we sell it. So all that to say, I want to use that anecdotal story to kind of compare sometimes how I apply God's word to my own life. If you can smell what I'm stepping in here. 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training." That's as simple as it gets. The Bible is here to teach us, to train us, correct us, rebuke us. So if we are all on the let's get closer to God train, this should be a welcome bit of information. We can use God's word to build our lives to be reflective of his goodness and for his glory. Not a problem, right? We've got this. I'm going to start reading 5 chapters every day, and in no time, I'm ready for whatever God will have for me, right? That's the way it works. That's the way I've been told it works. The problem is, I read God's word a lot. I know a lot of verses right now that I can't even quote you one, right? Like, I know it here, maybe in a mental state, but to put it in an application for my life, it can be difficult. I know when the Holy Spirit is tugging at me to do something. Usually it's something I don't want to do. Maybe I need to ask forgiveness for something I've done to someone or who I've wronged, or maybe God is telling me it's time to confess that pet sin and cleanse that from us, right, and move on with it and repent from it. Or maybe God's calling me to, hey, you really need to invite that person over for dinner, or you really need to listen to what that person needs to say, even though they are probably the most annoying person you've ever met in your life, right? Like, that person is so annoying, I can't hardly stand to listen to 3 words they have to say, and I'm trying to look for the exit. Which kind of reminds me, I'm kind of twisting a song a little bit. I'm glad the theme of my life is not the I would do anything for love, but I won't do that by Meatloaf. Who's ever heard that one? Okay. But the twist here is that song is I would do anything for love, but I won't hurt you. I won't do things to make a mess of it. But me, I'm like, I would do anything for love, God, but I won't talk to that annoying person. I won't listen to the Holy Spirit when it's time for me to confess something, or I won't do that, right? I'm sure I'm not alone in here. Like when worship is good and maybe we've gotten into a good section of Bible reading where we're like, you know what, God, I'm on fire for you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to conquer the world. And then, you know, almost like, oh, and by the way, I forgot to take my Adderall this morning. So if I do, that's why. So because I'm having thoughts. So the idea is that, when we say, oh, God, yeah, I'm going to be on fire for that. I'm going to do that, right? I'm ready to go. And then we don't then God says something like, you know, okay, well, here's what I want you to do. And you're like, whoa, I would do anything for love, Lord, but I won't do that, because that would mean maybe sacrifice. Maybe that would mean embarrassment. Maybe that would mean something that I don't feel comfortable with. And I really feel like in our day and age, we have so many comforts that it's easy for us to not want to follow what the Lord may have for us, because we trust in our own selves, right? We trust that we know what's best. We season God's word with our own genius. Yeah, terrible. That's the way it was for forever, though. Following directions, following what God would have us do, doesn't mean that we're up for the task a lot of times, because we want to do our own thing. Am I alone in that? Like, you just want to do your own thing sometimes? Adam and Eve did their own thing, right? Here they are in the garden. They got it perfect. Just don't do that over there. Don't eat from the tree. That's not for you. I give you all this. Adam and Eve are like, you know what? Challenge accepted. Let's go see what's up with that tree, right? We're going to season it with our own thoughts and our own understanding of what's going on over there. Didn't turn out well. Didn't turn out well for Jonah either, right? Jonah says, hey, let's go to Nineveh. Yeah, let's not go to Nineveh. That's crazy. I love you, Lord, but I won't do that, right? Like, I want to follow you, but I won't do that. And then he got a three-night stay in a belly of a fish. That must have been fun. Having a closer relationship with God means that we must study him just like those instructions. We can't be insincere with our studies. When I took my eyes off those instructions for that cabinet, I assumed I knew exactly what the plans were. I was wrong. I did not look closely. I did not study it enough, even when I thought I knew what I was doing. And you know, here's another side note. Like, have you ever built one of those and you're trying to look at the instructions and you're trying to look at the product and you're like, well, it'd be better if I flip this around, right? And then, but the manufacturer had it set up to where when you were done with it, you should just be able to pick it right up, right? But when we spin it and we put our own little touches on it, now we're like, hey, honey, can you help me? I got to flip this whole thing over to get the stuff on the back that I should have listened to the first place, right? And then, you know, it's a lot of fun. But here's the good news, right? By God's grace, we still get to keep moving on in our attempts to be more like Jesus. We may be ugly, we may be twisted, we may be facing the wrong way, but God still loves us and still wants a relationship with us. Just like my cabinet, I still want a relationship with it, really. I mean, I need to put my towel somewhere, I need to put the soap somewhere, so it's good. It's not perfect, but it's good, right? But the great news about Jesus, or about God, is that he is transforming us to be like him. And God sees us, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God sees us as righteous people. Perfect, really. Like, not like my cabinet, but perfect people. And he so much desires that relationship with us. That's why I think he wrote the book. I don't know. I'm spitballing here. But there's a reason why there's a book and there's a set of instructions. It's for us to attempt a relationship with him in a way that, you know, we're not going to get it perfect, but because of Jesus Christ, it's perfect to God. So that's amazing. So imagine us getting to a point in our reading and understanding of God's word that we could just recall scripture and what to do as events unfold in front of us. There are a lot of folks out there that know what I'm talking about, and it's plainly written in the Psalms. Good word over there, Psalms. Psalms 119, thy word I have hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That's some pretty heavy stuff, because there's, in my opinion, there's a requirement there that if I'm going to hide God's word in my heart, I got to act, right? I have to study. I have to learn God's word, just like those silly instructions, but God's word's not silly. The instructions, you know, where does that screw go? Where does A meet up with B? And sometimes we season our own genius in there, and it doesn't turn out right. Well, that's the same with God's word, in the sense that if we're not truly studying and trying to learn what God has to tell us, then we can, if we season it with our own garbage, it's not going to come out exactly how God would want it. And that's why it's important that we learn God's word, we remember God's word, we memorize God's word, because there's going to be times in our life where when it goes wrong, we have different ways we can react to it. We can live in panic and fear that, oh, what are we going to do? This is terrible, you know? That. And I believe that's how some of us live. I know that there are times when I'm like that. But there are other Christ followers out there who know God's word inside and out, know God's promises inside and out, that when it does go nuts, they're just like, okay, Lord, what are we doing? Where are we going? How are we going to get through this? Because I'm trusting you to get me through this, and I'm not trusting my own seasoning, because my seasoning's been on the shelf too long, and I, you know, it's not good stuff. I also like to think about the vocations in our world that we have, our jobs that we have, where people are really, really good at what they do, right? Do we all know a mechanic out there that you can say, hey, this one thing's clicking and clacking, and I don't know what's wrong with it? And they're like, oh, well, that's your one of those things, and we'll get it fixed, right? Or the carpenters out there who know how to just put things together so beautifully, and you're like, I can't comprehend what's going on here. But the mom or the grandma out there who has recipes that have been passed down generation to generation, and they're in their head, they're in their thoughts, and like they can taste your food and they'll be like, oh, you left out the baking soda, right? And you're like, I did, right? Like, or you know, that baking soda's old, you should probably get some new stuff. Like, how do you know that? Like, but there are those folks out there that are really good at what they do. Because they just practice it. They know it. So if we dedicated our lives to truly wanting to know God more and absorbing what he wants us to know, how limitless would we be? Trusting God with the how-to of our lives would be like trusting the manufacturer with the directions given. When we begin opening that box and seeing all those pieces laid out, it usually makes no sense to us. The order of the build doesn't make sense. The pictures don't add up to what we think it should be. But if we follow the directions, the thing will generally set itself straight up, like it'll be ready to go. It'll be perfect the way the manufacturer intended. So what are some ways that we can truly study God's word so that we can understand and apply it to our lives each day? I'm currently asking God for the desire to do so. Just like when that new cabinet came in, I was eager to get in there and get that thing built. Like, it was a challenge, right? I think guys are like that. Like, oh, let's conquer this. Let's build this thing. But that eagerness kind of fades when it comes to my relationship with God, because I think the being complacent with my relationship with him on my own doing doesn't allow me to seek that growth, doesn't allow me to build something better, to conquer a new problem in my life or with my heart or whatever. So I'm asking for that desire to do so. I want to be able to be like, oh, it's go time. I get to read God's word today. It's go time. I get to pray today. But it's hard to desire God. It's hard for us to sit back and make time to read his word. Like any relationship, it takes two to tango. God, however, has already mastered the dance and is waiting for his partner to join. For me, it's tough because I'm easily distracted, imagine that, and find other things to do besides connecting with God. Also, for some, we don't have a need for God because everything is well under control. God only gets attention from us when a crisis requires a supernatural intervention. Others don't buy into waiting for a crisis to connect with him. There are those who have a deep and intimate relationship with God because of their time spent investing in that relationship. The result is typically a more peaceful reaction to a crisis rather than a reaction of panic and fear. Reading God's word with a desire to learn more is one way. You also can chew on small portions and read them over and over again until you get a clear understanding. There's nothing that says you have to read a full chapter each day. You can take three verses, pray over those three verses, say, Lord, show me what you want to hear, see, or want me to see today. Teach me. Another way is to increase your prayer time. Have you ever considered the verse in 1 Thessalonians? Dry mouth up here. I didn't get a bottle of water or nothing. No, I'm just kidding. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, pray without ceasing. That seems like, I don't know, just weird. Like, why would I be praying all the time, right? You know, I read online and I saw this on the Google. And another way to put that verse is it means to have our minds always on the things of God, to be in constant communication with him so that every moment may be as fruitful as possible. So always having our minds on the things of God. Still, and I think I probably talked about it up here before, but still one of the very favorite stories I ever heard was a radio interview between some guy who went and saw Billy Graham. And they were in his office talking, and they were talking about different things, and the verse came up about pray without ceasing. And so this guy says, hey, Mr. Graham, what do you think about that verse, pray without ceasing? You know, what do you think that means to you? And Billy Graham's reply was, during this whole time we've been talking, I've been praying to God about this conversation. So, like, when you're on level, you know, expert level 12, and like Billy Graham was, or we think he was, that his entire conversations that he was having was with people were seasoned in the background with communication with God. That's praying without ceasing. That is really hard for me to do because I am so easily distracted. And how can I be in constant communication with my Father when I got to figure out what the problem is here on the horizontal or the whatever the communication is, and I can't go this way, right? But you can. I mean, it's a learned muscle. Like, there's nothing that says that you can't pray while you're, you know, having a conversation. There's nothing that says you can't pray while you're, you know, doing the dishes or working out in the field or whatever you're doing. You can be constantly in communication with him. So we have to make time to talk to God. We have to make time to listen to God. We have to make time to be thankful for what God has done for us. There has to be gratitude. We live in an instant world, instant coffee, instant cocoa, which is really gross. You know, instant. And we have developed a habit that even on our cell phones, all right, if that video doesn't catch our attention in 30 seconds, we're moving on. Like, we're done. We are, our attention span, we all need some Adderall maybe. I don't know. But our attention span is really, really short fused. And we've, and honestly, I'm just going to spitball here. I think the things, the enemies against us are the world, Satan, and our flesh. And all three have done a really, really good job of making it difficult to connect to God, who requires more than 30 seconds of our time, more than an instant, I'm going to read a verse or two, and I'm going to pat myself on the back and be done with it. God doesn't want us to be legalistic about it. We don't have to, like, oh, God doesn't like me today because I didn't read my Bible or I didn't pray, or, oh, you know, shame, shame, shame. That's all been taken care of on the cross, by the way. We don't have to worry about any of that. God just wants a relationship with you. He already knows how to tango. He's waiting on his partner. So you got to get out there and learn how to dance. I don't know. It just came to me. You know, learn how to connect with him. And I'm speaking to me mainly, believe it or not, because, like I said, it's easy to get into a situation where you think you know God's word, you think you know, you've been to church long enough, I've been going since I was born or before I was born, and And so, like, you know the churchese stuff. You know how to, hey, brother, how are you? How's it going? Oh, praise the Lord, right? And then you get home, and it's like, oh, what kind of crappy stuff can I watch on TV, right? Or what can I do to reduce my mind to mush so I don't have to think about anything? Well, that's not what God wants. He wants a dance partner, and he wants a relationship with all of us. He wants you to be connected. He wants you to follow his instructions. And I've even told, my kids growing up, God doesn't want to prevent, God doesn't put rules in your life to prevent you from having fun. It's these instructions keep you safe. They're not meant to hurt you or to destroy you or anything like that. The enemy does. And isn't it interesting that the enemy will give you good feelings and butterflies in your stomach over something that you probably know is wrong to do, but you want to do it anyway because, it just feels good. It's just the right, I know that the church would be frowning on me for doing this, but I know what's good for me in my heart, right? There's that seasoning. There's that, I'm going to put my own genius spin on it, and it'll backfire every time. We're not meant to stay in a juvenile state when it comes to our relationship with God and our understanding of what our instructions are for us here on earth. We are meant to mature and increase our lives to be more reflective of Jesus Christ. This work is never done, however, and we do not see perfection until his coming or our homecoming. So that's all I got for you. I just want to let you know that God loves you, and he has that instruction book for a reason, and I just pray that as you go out, that you ask him to give you that fire and desire to want to learn what he would have for you and then obey it, because that's the hard part. I think we can do anything for love, but we won't do that. Well, maybe we should start doing that. Thank you.
I think there's a lot there, and I'm not going to go back and just try to re-preach everything. There's a few things, though, I would like to say. And John talked a lot, talked about the distractions and all of that. Time seems to be increasing in terms of its momentum and energy, and there's always a reason why we can't, right? There's always a reason. Interesting. I've been listening to a lot of speakers and leaders these days talking about Nehemiah and just his leadership. And this is a good word for us now, especially now in terms of where we are. That the enemy came against them when they were rebuilding the wall. This was a mission from God. It was a word from God. And there were all kinds of distractions to keep them from doing the thing that God had called them to do. They were to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and all the distractions possible, all the work of the enemy came against that over and over and over again. And Nehemiah 4, this is really interesting, but from then on, only half of my men worked while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. And I think that's very symbolic of where we need to be. It's like we need to have the Word of God always with us, even while we're doing what we're doing in life. And God's not calling us to come to a standstill. And again, the idea of praying without ceasing is not that you have to stop and go over to a corner, although that's appropriate maybe at times, but it's this mindset of, God, what are you doing in this situation? Is there something that you want me to see while this is going on? Is there something you want me to do while I'm doing what I'm doing in my workplace? And I think a lot of times those are just simple things of prayer and inspiration, of just having the Word and then what you're doing alongside of you just to hear from the Word of the Lord. You know, we desperately, desperately need wisdom. Right now, we desperately do. And the Word says, ask the Lord and he'll give it to you. Lisa and I just encountered a situation. My one of my favorite aunts and uncles, his wife just passed. They weren't that much older than me. They were only about 12 years older than me. She was only about 8 years older than me. And they were the kind of aunt and uncle that, I mean, they taught me how to water ski. Although it was in Suwannee River in Florida where there were alligators that were very much on the banks of the river. So you learned quick. You got up, you know. I remember jumping in, and I had this, you know, I'm 16 years old, and I got the vest on. You know how you are if you've ever water skied it. You just feel like you're drowning the whole time. Trying to put the skis on, and Roger said, hey, bud, you better hurry up. There's an alligator over there on the – and he was right. There was an alligator right over on the bank. I was like, man, I got to learn this really fast. Anyway, it was those kinds of experiences. And his wife passed away with cancer this last week, and I just felt such a burden, like, man – I think we're supposed to go to Florida, Lord. I just really feel like that. But is that guilt because I haven't been with them for a few years? Or what's happening here? And I just asked the Lord. I said, I really need a sign. If we're supposed to do this, I mean, I just need a sign. And so sometimes it's like that. And it's like the Lord will show us what we need to do in the moment. And we just tend to lean into our own understanding instead of acknowledging that he really can guide us through this if we just are patient. Be still long enough to hear what he has to say. So this morning I'm encouraged. I hope you are encouraged. Thank you, John, for hitting it towards the fence. Whether you hit a home run or not is not up to us. It's whatever God sees and what you did and your efforts put forth. But you definitely came to the plate and showed up, and we're thankful for that. Let's stand this morning and as we close out. And I really want to encourage you about next week. I know that there are already people who are saying things like this. And those people said things about maybe the Wednesday night deal. Oh, I don't want to do that. Or that's not for me. Or no, thank you. All of that kind of stuff. I get it. There are times when I don't want to do things. You've been there, done that? Okay. I've told you this before. There are times I get up on Sunday and the first thought that comes to my mind is I don't want to go to church today. Oh, wait, that's my job. Okay, now seriously, we're all there. There are times when we don't want to do it, right? But can I encourage you that right now in this season of our church and this season of where we are as a church, I think it's imperative that we put away the excuses of why we can't and why we don't want to and just walk through the door of the opportunity and see what God might have on the other side. I mean, seriously, I'm being very serious. I'm not trying to shame you or condemn you or guilt you into going next Saturday. But what an opportunity we have, because every Sunday morning, it's just like John said, hey, how you doing? Fine. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? And all of you have lied on the way out of the door. You're not okay. But sitting around a campfire, burning a s'more, might just create an opportunity for you to go just a little bit deeper with your neighbor. And I do want to encourage you. It's a great opportunity to invite folks. It's a non-threatening environment. Well, Jeff and Lisa are kind of threatening. No, it's a non-threatening environment, especially Jeff. Non-threatening environment. Go, be a part. Let's build the body of Christ by spurring one another to good things. Amen? Father, thank you for this time this morning. We love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for John being obedient. In the struggle of even trying to put together what is it that you want to say to your people. And I thank you for the admission of his own life and his own honesty and transparency of where he is. And we're all in those places sometimes where it's just hard to just slow down enough just to read and to pray and to seek your guidance and wisdom. But Father, we know the word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if we don't have it buried deep within us, in our mind, soul, and body, where it's just so natural that it comes forth, we're going to struggle. So I pray for us as a church that we will take the admonitions and the encouragements very seriously, and we'll begin to walk according to what you have for us. Thank you again for the opportunities we have ahead. We pray for next Saturday. We pray that it will be a life-changing, life-altering event for many of us, maybe even especially those who have not been at a church in a while. And Lord, just grant your peace in the midst of war on the people, the nation of Israel. We still don't understand all of those things. We do understand that they are probably part of some end time events that are unfolding. We don't totally get the picture, but we know, God, that this, your heart is for your people. And we pray for them. We pray your kingdom would come, your will would be done. We pray for leadership in our government to do and make the right decisions and the godly decisions based off of your word, your spirit, not their own understanding and their desires. And God, we pray for our church. We thank you for what you're doing. We ask that you would continue to open our eyes to see you high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you throughout the week, hopefully Wednesday. If not, we'll see you Saturday. If not, we'll see you Sunday.